T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood, buy now and save big during the grand reopening of the all-new Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Will Manso is going to join us here. Will Manso, you watch him on Local 10. Obviously, during heat season, you see him on Fox Sports Sun. He's got to be happy that Dwayne Wade is coming back. Hello, Will.
Gentlemen, how are you guys?
And
I would sound ecstatic. I was starting to slowly dread as it got closer to training camp that Dwayne wouldn't be around, and that's not really an indictment of the team or the roster, just the fact that, you know, I mean, he's our star. We've had him for 15 years or so, and the thought of, I wasn't ready, guys. I wasn't ready to let go. I think we all knew. It's like when your kids go to college or when you grow up and you're not around your parents. Like, you knew the day will come that Dwayne's gone, but I think, like most Heat fans, I wasn't ready. I'm so glad he's back.
No, this seems right. This seems more right than if he would have just up and retired after half a season back with the Heat. This seems right because we'll all be able to come to grips with this being his final season. We'll be able to appreciate him maybe more than we have in the last few years. So I think it's great, and obviously it's got to be great for the Heat.
Yeah, and look, let's be honest, guys. The Heat have kind of kept their distance, other than Pat saying, "Hey, Dwayne's going to have his space, do his thing. We want him back. We have a role for him." Spo said the same a little bit after the season. The point being, they were going to give Dwayne his space, but let's look at it from a marketing perspective. I mean, that building right now on Biscayne is ecstatic, putting out the Wade, you know, the Wade shirts and banners and all those things, because they know that they have, in that transition where they're trying to get to that next level, to have those superstars like they did for so many years, which was led by Dwayne, in that transition, you know, you're going to have a down year or two. The fact that from a marketing and excitement perspective, you have Dwayne kind of bridging that gap is a huge thing, aside from the fact that he can still play basketball and help the team. I think that's no question. We saw it down the stretch last year.
Well, what all comes with a retirement tour? Is it something every night on the road games? Is there something every month at the stadium? Like, what comes with this?
That's a good question. You know, I'm curious how they answer that next week. You know, when they hit camp, and they're all going to get asked, and obviously that being Spo and Dwayne himself and what they expect and what they want. I think from a Heat marketing perspective, I'm sure they're laying out, and they have been all offseason, a plan of you know, how are we going to handle this? It can't be a nightly game thing where, like, hey, game counter number, you know, 73. Dwayne has 73 games left. You know, I think they have to have a balance of how they do it and pick a specific time to honor him. But I think from a road perspective, guys, I think every time he goes to, like, when he's in Madison Square Garden for the last time, you got to think they're going to do the whole farewell tour and gifts and all that stuff. And I think a lot of arenas will be that way. So, you know, that's stuff that I think is pretty clear is going to happen. From a Heat perspective, I think they're going to formulate a plan where it's maybe not nightly, but I think there has to be a certain theme to the season where, yeah, we have to recognize that this is Dwayne Wade's last year and he's been our franchise. And whether that's culminated with like one grand night near the end of the season or at the end of the season, we'll see. But I know from our end, from like our TV end, we're already planning our special Dwayne Wade retirement, you know, your show. We're already planning this months out. So I'm sure the Heat are doing the same from how they're going to handle this.
Hey, Will, I've been audited before. This might be a weird question. Does he have to pay taxes on those gifts? Because you can only gift up to $11,000.
That is true.
That's a great question.
It's very public. It's a very public gift.
I mean, if they're giving you, like, you know, some special, I don't know, rocking chair or some special, some sort of electronic equipment that's, you know, 50 grand or something, I have a feeling that maybe, but, you know, the good thing is I think Dwayne's got a good accountant and he can handle it.
Yeah, he probably has a good accountant.
I got a good one now. Getting audited.
We all learned our lesson. Trust me, we all learned our lesson.
Will Manso from Local 10 is with us. Let's shift gears into football. I have to ask you about your New York Giants first. Your New York Giants, I was telling this at the beginning of the show, I went into this season believing that the Miami Dolphins were garbage, and I thought the New York Giants were going to be really good, and I have been proven wrong so far. Granted, only two games, but your Giants look terrible.
They're terrible. And, you know, and I couldn't, and the thing is, I'm a homer for the Giants, obviously, as my childhood team, and for the Dolphins, I'm a homer as well in the sense that I want them to do well because I grew up here and I cover them now, and I want to see the Dolphins do well, but even in being a homer, I'm realistic. I told everyone before the season, the Giants are terrible. Like, they're in a total rebuild, and they're doing it with a 37-year-old quarterback who can't move. And God bless Eli. I love what he's done. And when he gets a clean pocket, he can still sling it and throw it. But you guys know, you watch NFL games every week, there's no such thing as clean pockets in the NFL. Guys are coming on blitzes and rushing, and offensive lines aren't very good, and the Giants have one of the worst in football. You combine that with an old quarterback who can't move, and they're just unwatchable. They have no playmakers on defense outside of a couple of guys. They can't get a pass rush. It's so bad. I thought before the season, at best, they were a 6-win team. See, the Dolphins, I thought, would be a 7-9-win team. And I don't know about you guys. Like, I'm slowly sipping the Kool-Aid, but I'm still thinking that they haven't done – I haven't seen enough to think that they're more than that. But I think the next 3 weeks are going to tell us a lot, guys. I think the next 3 weeks in facing Derek Carr and facing Tom Brady and Andy Dalton – and offenses that have a little more consistency with their quarterback will get a better idea of what kind of team they have by week 5 or 6.
And, well, speaking of the Dolphins, Tannehill's use in the run game was great for me, because the first play of the game they came out, some third downs, he got first downs with running. He rushed for more yards than the New York Jets did, which is amazing. But with that thought, Will, is it a little too dangerous that we're putting him in harm's way like that?
You know, it's a good question, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, wow, man. I mean, give Gase credit for something. I mean, he's not scared of doing things like this. I mean, to him, Ryan Tannehill's healthy. So if he's healthy and he's mobile, there's no reason he shouldn't run. And I think we all look at it as like, man, he's coming off surgery. Like, but Gase doesn't think that way. And to Ryan's credit, he doesn't think that way either. He's cleared. He's healthy. There's no issues with the knee. So why not just be himself, which is a guy that has the capability to run? We've seen it throughout his career. So, yeah, it's a little dicey to me, and I wonder how, as the season continues and teams look at film and figure out that they're trying to do that, whether they scale back on that a bit. I do know that the 1-2 punch they have at running back looks really good. I think this kind of dink-and-dunk offense they have going works fine when he gets the ball out and you can run the football, and then maybe once a game take a shot. It worked in week 1 with Kenny Stills. This week, Tannehill overthrew Robert Wilson on the one bomb, but I like the little mix that they have going. Now, I think we all agree that they need to get more consistent in finding the end zone, though. If it wasn't for the defense the first 2 weeks setting them up in great spots, this offense hasn't particularly been moving the ball well on its own. So, but again, they're 2-0. Like, even through all that, they're 2-0, and that is, to me, very surprising.
It's kind of what I do with Malik Rozier. You know, if we go into college football, I know that he's not the most accurate of quarterbacks, but he was 10-0 at one point last season. He was the quarterback when they beat FSU and when they beat Notre Dame. And yeah. So I don't like a lot of the criticism that's levied at Malik Rozier. And I understand people wanting a different quarterback. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But what do you think about the Miami Hurricanes led by Malik Rozier? You think he's the quarterback by the end of the season?
Here's the thing that I always say, and I've had this discussion with Mark Richt for 2 years now, and I had it just a few weeks ago before the season started, before we went to Dallas, was Malik Rozier's had the entire offseason to prove himself again, and all those other guys have as well in camp and in film study and in places that we don't see these guys. Mark Richt, say whatever you want about him, whether he can win the big game or whether he'll lead Miami back to prominence in the national title, whatever, that's to be determined. But I do trust that he knows more football than I do, and that he understands the quarterback position, being a former quarterback, more than I do and more than most of us do. And if he looks at film every day and looks at guys in practice every day and in the weight room and in the film room and in the study room and all these things and on the field, and thinks that Malik is the best chance to give him to win games this year, then who am I to argue otherwise? I think we all see the potential in Nakosi Perry. I mean, when he gets out there, he's a big kid. He's a little thin still, but he's trying to bulk up. He can run. He can move. He's got a strong arm. But obviously there are inconsistencies to his game that we haven't seen that Mark Richt is concerned about. Otherwise, trust me, if Nakosi Perry was better suited to win football games right now for Miami, I have no doubt that Mark Richt would start him and would have started him from day one. But Malik has done the job, as you mentioned, 10-0 last year, won some big games, and more than anything, guys, what I love about him, he's as resilient as they come, man, because when there are moments where you're just thinking it's going to all collapse, he comes back like a game the other day and has 5 touchdowns and plays well, and he's found a way in his 2 years as starter to always make that play right when you think that you're down on him and maybe things are turning the other direction.
And that team with Malik Rozier, the defense last year kind of bailed him out a lot too, with their turnovers, the turnover chain, and all that. Will, how does this defense line up against last year's? Because they're not up there with the turnovers like last year, but they are tops in the NCAA in tackles for loss. How do they line up against last year's team?
I mean, I think you know this great. You know this better than anyone. Being a defensive player and a guy that obviously knows the way defenses work and turnovers work. A lot of turnovers is really luck. I mean, in that LSU game, remember there was a fumble early, and the game got missing a turnover when the game, right when it got started. What if they get that turnover? Malik scores a touchdown, and they lead them down to a 40-yard drive, and they score, and they take the lead 7-0. The game totally changes, and turnovers are so hard. That's why when you live and die by the turnover, it's just very hard to be consistent in winning big games. When they happen, great. And there'll be games this year where the Canes get 4 or 5 turnovers and it's great and the chain's coming out. But I think more than anything, to your point, is they need to just pressure the QB, stop the run like they have. Jerry Willis has been unbelievable in the middle. I mean, he's such a big guy stopping some of their freshmen. When I was on the field in Dallas, I couldn't believe it pregame, seeing some of these freshman kids like Silvera, these kids that are 18 years old and 300 pounds, and just these big guys. As long as they make plays and stop the run and get to the quarterback and all these tackles for losses, they'll be one of the top defenses in the country. Now, when they force the turnovers, they could possibly be one of the top teams in the country. But it's hard to live and die by that as the only way that you're going to win big games.
Will Manso, Local 10, Fox Sports Sun. They've got the Miami Sports Pod. He and Clay and Dookie Lang, they do Miami Sports Social. I mean, you're very, very overexposed, Will.
Yeah, I'm tired of myself. I'm not going to lie.
He's got two Twitter accounts now.
When Solero texted me, hey, you want to be on? I said, honestly, I don't want to hear myself. No, I don't.
This is a great text that came in at the beginning of our interview here. I hadn't even thought of this. What does Wade do if he has a really good year and leads the team, say, into the second round of the playoffs?
I thought of that as far as – I've actually thought of the opposite. What if, God forbid, he got hurt or it was like – you know what I mean? Like he missed a lot of the year. I've kind of been the pessimistic guy on the other side. But then there's the optimistic side is like, what if he is phenomenal? I think that's a great way to go out, guys. I think that's better – a better scenario, obviously, for many reasons than the dumb one I just mentioned of getting hurt or having an injury-prone year. I think if he has a big year, what better way to go out? He's already got 3 rings. He's got a lot of money. He's got a beautiful wife and a great family. He's obviously got a lot of ventures in business and charity. And Dwayne is set for life in so many ways that I think the best way to end it is a productive, solid season where they go into the playoffs, make some noise. Dwayne's a big reason why, and we send them off with a big thank you. And he's always welcome back in his house, and he'll always be a big part of the Heat franchise.
Your scenario actually has a better chance of happening. I hate to be that guy as well, but I think the way that you said it may have been a greater likelihood.
I hate that I put it out there. I don't even want to put it out there.
Not the injury. I'm just saying where he's just like, after you're like, 8-13, and it's another night of travel.
I'm hoping that's not the case.
I hope he balls out and sticks around for another season. Where's the music, Valero? We don't have any music. I got excited there for no reason.
He's shuffling.
I know he was shuffling. I don't know what he was going to find, but it was going to be nothing appropriate.
He was going to find Donna Summer Last Dance. That's what he was going to do.
All right. Will Manso, Local 10, Fox Sports Sun. Follow him on Twitter, on his multiple Twitter accounts. What's the one you want to promote? Will Manso, WPLG?
Yeah, that's the new one. That's the station one they're trying to promote. And I told you guys, they really want to plug all our video and stuff and, hits and pods and all that stuff to that one. So the other one I still use to rant about the Giants and to block Valero. But this one I taught Shelton. So.
All right. Well, follow Will Manso, WPLG, and you'll see all the stuff that he's doing with the Miami Sports Pod, Miami Sports Social, and whatnot. Thank you, Will.
Anytime, guys. We'll talk soon.
We have to play the Don Bailey Jr. calls at some point, right?
Yes.
I really want to hear these. Do we want to do that in the next segment?
Or you want to? We could.
I don't know. Like, what does everybody want to do? I want to hear them.
DBJ.
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. Don Bailey Jr. calls from Saturday. There's 4 of them, right?
Correct.
Have you've obviously heard
of
them because you cut them up. How?
He improved from last week. So like last week he had 2 bad, 2 good.
Right.
I think he's got 3 good, 1 bad.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Making progress.
All right. I'm excited.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.